Good morning. We're going to try to record it on two devices today. I'd like to move over. I downloaded a new recording device on this phone, so hopefully we'll see how this works out on both phones, and if so, we can phase out the other one. Just want to make sure that we don't miss it on this new recording device. Excellent. Okay, just a nice little Daf Yomi moment. Heard from David that yesterday we began to discuss Chelek and Olam Haba and Ben Olam Haba and what the difference is between the two. And Baruch Hashem, last night, him and his Chavrusa, they were learning Shara Chatzer, and it was discussing the difference between Ben and Chelek of Olam Haba. Beautiful, beautiful. Similar to what we were discussing, but that really takes on a little bit of a new angle that, as David was saying, even in Shir, he kind of prefaced Shara Chatzer, that perhaps it's potential for Olam Haba, meaning a Chelek is we have potential, you know, a person can have options or equity in his company, but as long as the company's not only once the company is worth something are those options worth something. So there's potential, but he actually has to earn the valuation of the company, and then the options can be cashed out. Okay, maybe it's too businessy, but anyways, it's worth something once he makes it worth something. We said that we were going to start today with following up from the Tosfos yesterday, the last line of the third parak. Today's daf is Chaf Dalet. We're just a few lines up on the previous Amud before the right before the parak ended. We finished the parak. And I was going to tell you a little bit about an insight that I had or a question that was bothering me for a long time. The question
you left us with a cliffhanger.
I left you with a cliffhanger. Baruch Hashem. Will anybody figure out the answer on their own?
It was a cliffhanger, but...
Did you feel it? Did it keep you up last night? The hope is that these questions keep us up at night. They're bothering us.
I'm stopping to come.
Nobody messaged me like, Mo, I can't work, I can't sleep, I can't... This question, you've got to answer it before tomorrow's shir. So hopefully perhaps with time, we'll be feeling it, or maybe we have to ask better questions. I don't know. But, let's think about it. What could it be? The Gemara, again, we describe that a person should pierce his ears, because Manashana Ozen, says the Gemara, Chaf Beis in Kiddushin, the Ozen that heard on Har Sinai, right? That we should be servants to Hashem. Those are the ears that we've got to pierce.
You want the tongue bar.
I want a tongue, I want a good tongue ring, maybe a colorful one with a stud on top, whatever, you know. Yeah, give him a good tongue ring. Ear, piercing ear. What is it about the ear? What is it about the ear that seems to be not just a technicality of hearing on Har Sinai, but encompasses far more than that? So, we'll get to the Rambam, the Maharal shortly, which is very cool. But first... The Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos says the following. This is the Mishnah Vav. Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. He says that attentive listening is one of the 48 ways, one of the Memches Dvarim, to acquire Torah. He says the eye is a very important part of man's body, yet the ear is even more important. While the eye can see the most beautiful visions and light that gladdens the heart, the ear is even more able to hear glad tidings which penetrate to man's very core and saturate man's essence. It is for this reason we are taught in Bava Kamma, 85b, that if one blinds his servant, he must pay for the value of his eye. But if he makes his servant deaf, he must pay for the servant's entire value. The ability to hear enables man to totally restructure his life, says the Rabbeinu Yonah. Shari Tshuva, right? 2:12 quotes the following medrash and bring out the power and importance of faculty of listening with a parable from Shmos Rabbah. A person fell off a roof and all of his limbs were smashed. He needs a separate bandage for each one. However, a person who sinned with every part of his body needs only one bandage, an Eved Ivri, which wants his whole body to serve a random guy instead of Hashem, he gets one bandage. That bandage is through the ear. Hashem gave him ears to hear words of rebuke and improve. This is the meaning of the words in Yeshaya, Nunhei, Perek Nunhei, Hatu Aznachem Ulechu Shali, Shimu Uschinashchem, Shimu Uschinashchem. Again, so it seems that the ear is like being able to understand, being able to internalize, being able to penetrate. It's not just the external structure of the ear, but when people say, like, I hear you, it's not just that I physically heard it, because I could read it too, but I hear you. It's more deep. It's penetrating. It can really change us as people. Shema Yisrael is not just, listen, guys, but I have something to tell you. But Shema Yisrael internalizes this message. Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad is really that message. Let's just finish off with the Maral here because I Or I'll start with the last line of the Maral. Last line, this is in Chidushei Agadas, in Kiddushin, Chaf Beis. The last line of this Maral piece says, V'elu dvarim heim sisrei chachma ma'od. These are very deep sisrei chachma, secrets of chachma. So when he ends with that, if we don't fully understand any Maral, you know, it's okay, but if, when he ends a Maral by saying that it's sisrei chachma ma'od, then, anyways. So he can say manishtana ozen. He brings up that Gemara there. Yesh ta'akshos im kain kol mi she'osa ver yomar alav ozen shama bar sinai shal yasa. Right? He brings out a different angle. Not why not the tongue? Then every mitzvah, every aver we do, pierces ear. Why don't we have it every? Every time we heard Hashem be servants to Him and we messed up, we said lashon hara. We didn't put on our tefillin. Right? We should always get that ear pierced. What is it, right? Every time we do it. And then he brings out, why the ear? Right? He calls it a base kibble, that just like a keli, he's not considered a keli until it has a base kibble. It's able to accept something. So to the ear, once we have that ear functioning, then it's able to accept information, it's able to internalize things. Again, it's not necessarily ear per se, but it's that ability to be able to incorporate and internalize and change ourselves based on things that we hear. The next paragraph here, the last paragraph, Lefika Chamar Delas Mezuzah Shayu Edim Shisrael Heim Avadim Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, and he continues to go on. Feel free to take a look here. It's really, really beautiful, and that perhaps explains a little bit better.
I understand the answer. Why is it different? Why is every different?
Why is every different? Because he explains that.
It's a very good question. Like every Avera should have it.
Every Avera should have it, right?
Some people get an ear piercing for.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu al bote b'nei Yisrael v'o nichnas v'pesach shalom alashkes osam nira b'pesach shalom she'ina mekab me'odo nachay rach m'Hashem Yisrael. Anyways, it seems that there was some full body experience here by becoming a slave to the Adon, that instead of just saying that this happened through the mouth, right, or this happened through the ear because they heard on Har Sinai, there's some full body experience here by a whole person becoming a slave to the Adon. And then there, Hashem's going to call it. But anyways, feel free to take a look there further. It's a beautiful piece. Once I saw that it was Sisrei Chachma Ma'od, I didn't even try to understand it fully, but just to recognize the power. We should all hear. We should all hear the words of Torah. Not just listen, but hear them, internalize them. Musar, Machshava, be able to incorporate the words of Torah, what Hashem is telling us, and make...
Rabbi Katz says something also very interesting about the difference between sight and hearing.
What does he say?
Says that the sight, you get the whole picture all at once. Mm-hmm. Everything is right there. You have pictures worth 1,000 words. But with hearing, you can't understand anything until you hear every word and then put it together inside yourself.
Interesting.
You have to. It has to be incorporated in you for you to get the picture, in other words.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Eliezer. It's great. Baruch Hashem. Tarak Dosha. Arusa v'shomer siyavim, says the fourth parak, says the Mishnah here starting out. We're kind of landing back a little bit of non-agadata again for a little bit. Shorter daf. I'm also going to take a look at Amin Beis. I think this is the shortest daf word-wise we've done so far. So it's Thursday, it's okay, but it's packed, but we should be okay. So, Arusa v'shomer siyavim. We're going to have a list of a number of cases in the Mishnah and permutations of whether these women will not drink and or not get their ksuba, or get their ksuba and not drink, or drink and get their... A number of permutations as to whether a woman will get her ksuba and will or will not drink, types of marriages that might exist, types of people that might exist. Let's understand, deep dive further into the concept of sota and who drinks the mei sota and what the implications are for their marriage and for their ksuba. Says the Mishnah, Arusa v'shomer siyavam. Arusa, somebody that's engaged, not just a cute engagement party now. Hey, I'm engaged. Most of we take a picture on only simchas and we spread it around. But the arusin that we really have nowadays happens under the chuppah. There is more of a real type of, it's real type marriage, so our engagements right now would not count for this. This shomer siyavam, and again, as we've had before, a husband and wife married, Rahman al-Atslan, the husband passes away, they have no kids. So the wife is waiting to, she's a shomer siyavam. Nothing's happened yet, but Yibum or Chalitza are on the line with the husband's brother. She's a shomer siyavam, she's waiting to have Yibum with the brother. Lo shosos, velo notlos ksuba. These women, again, if these women were with the guy, so the Arusa was with her soon-to-be husband, and also, we're going to have in the Gemara soon, but she, and then her husband says, don't be, or the future husband says, don't be miyached with that guy. Right? The kinuin stira all take place there, the shomer siyavam. Everything takes place, but they're still not fully married. They haven't yet had that consummation of their marriage, or they haven't yet established their marriage. So these are the cases where they're not really supposed to be married. They're not really married yet. So lo shosos, velo no los ksuba. The Gemara is going to discuss more. Shenamar asher tista asher tachas isha. Right? She tista, she strayed. Again, that word tista, we had it before. Why? To also say the word shota, that whoever strays, whoever does an aver, it's like they become a shota. That was the word because it said tista, spelled like this. So if she strayed, once she was under her husband's domain, so to say. But these cases, she's not. They're not fully married. Prat la rusa v'shomer siyavam. That pasuk is coming to exclude an arusa and a shomer siyavam. Almana la kohen gadol. Well, what about these marriages that aren't supposed to happen? A widow to a kohen gadol. Ugrusha v'chalutza la kohen hediot. A kohen gadol has more stringent parameters as to who he's allowed to marry. He can't even marry a widow. A regular kohen is allowed to marry a widow, but cannot marry a divorcee, and cannot marry a chalutza, a woman who underwent chalitza instead of yibum. The kohen hediot. So, in those cases, also, mamzeres unasina liyisrael, a mamzer, or a nusin, right, more general. We first had a kohen gadol, we then had a kohen hediot, now, generally, to a yisrael, a mamzeres, somebody who comes out of this forbidden type of union. Unesina liyestral. What's a nusin? Sefer Yoshua, Eliezer. Didn't you do Sefer Yoshua already?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So what are the nusins? A nusin came from the Seven Nations. They were in Eretz Yisrael. They dressed up, they fraudulently went to Yoshua trying to pose as people that were okay.
They said that they came from far away. Ripped their clothes.
Exactly. Yoshua believed them, right, made a treaty with them, then he found out he was defrauded, but he still had to keep his word.
That's where the Philistine came from.
Tov. So therefore, Yoshua made them into, right, in the ninth parak of Sefer Yoshua, he signed them to be water carriers, woodcutters for the Beis HaMikdash. Nusin is that they were assigned to be this way. David HaMelech, more than three centuries later, realized that they were barbaric, realized that they really weren't, this wasn't happening, this wasn't a good match, and therefore, Klal Yisrael is not allowed to marry them. Okay?
It wasn't until Shimshon when we actually had the permission to go out and destroy them.
Excellent.
Because they went against their grit.
Excellent. So in these cases, lo shosos, lo no, lo ksuba. Again, the woman wouldn't marry if a widow is married to a kohen gadol, or if a chalutz is married to a kohen hediot, or a nusin or a mamzer is married to a bas yisrael, or the other way around, right? So in those cases, the woman wouldn't drink and she wouldn't get her ksuba also. The Rishash, and feel free to take a look, ask, aren't these cases of derabanans? These aren't deoraisa forbidden marriages, they're derabanan forbidden marriages. The ksuba is a deoraisa. Why are we uprooting a derabanan? A little bit more lumdus. Why are we uprooting a deraisa? Thank you, Ellie, for a derabanan status of a marriage. Interesting. So feel free to take a look at the Rashash to answer it further. Lo shosos. Why don't they drink? There's two approaches here. Why don't these marriages drink? In addition to the derabanan, in addition to the deraisa, it's interesting. So we have these marriages that shouldn't really be, right? Or marriages pre-marriage, right? The arusa, right? Why aren't these women drinking? So the Tosfos HaRosh has a beautiful approach. Why do we have Sota in general? What's the concept for? Why does Hashem erase his name? Because we have a marriage here. We have husband and wife. There's, it's
the symbol of the divine presence leaving.
Beautiful. So if the divine presence was never there, according to David, right? If the marriage was never something that was supposed to be or a beautiful thing or bringing together the Shekhinah into the home, because it wasn't supposed to be, even on a Darabanan level, maybe this answers the Rishash, then at this point, we shouldn't have to erase Hashem's name to bring it back together. This is not something that we want to do l'chatchila. But b'dieved, that's what we will do. Alternatively, there's another approach by the Rambam, more practical, so it's less hashkafic and more Rambam-like, right, perhaps, is that he says that the water only works when, we're going to have it, if the husband also is innocent. But here he's not. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. A kohen hedyo cannot marry a grusha. So therefore, the water won't work where the husband is also guilty. Here the husband is guilty, so don't even drink in the first place. Lo shosos. Excellent. Continue forward. The elo shosos lo nolos ksuba. Again, a third category of people, women, that don't drink and don't accept the ksuba. These are more general cases, so to say, not the types of people. So what happens in these cases? This can apply to anybody. Homeris tameani. We've had this before. What happens if she says, I'm tame, right? I'm tame. Or, and again, why are we bringing this down here? What's the chiddush here in the Mishnah? If she says I'm tame, of course she doesn't drink. Of course she doesn't take her ksuba. What's the chiddush here in this case? So we explain here. Right. There's a very powerful Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. This is Halacha L'maisa. I heard a case recently. Really, really Halacha L'maisa. Unbelievable. Now what happens if a woman comes and says, in Maseches Nedarim, she says, Tmani. She comes to the basin and she says, by the way, I'm tummy. Like, I had an extramarital affair. I need to get a divorce. I was baratzon. Do we believe her?
Ain adam rashias atzma?
Oh.
I didn't hear.
That a person is not ain adam mesim atzma rasha, right? A person cannot make himself into a rasha. There's not adam here. A woman just comes and says it by herself. The Gemara there says a powerful line. We don't believe her. Halachically, we don't believe her. Why? What do we say? Because maybe she placed her eyes, maybe she wanted to get out of this marriage, she sees another guy that she wants to be married to, and therefore she's going to try to find a way to get out of this marriage. Therefore, she tries to make herself into the... She's not able to be married anymore, and therefore, that won't work. In this case, why does it work when she says Tamani? And that's why the Chiddush here in the Mishnah is maybe to bring it up, is because she says Tamani, what's the difference here? Of course...
Water to stay married.
Why here does she? Do we believe her to say Tamei Ani? Because you've had this answer before, Shalom, in the past. Two words, Hebrew. Raglayim Ladavar, right? Kinoin Stira. It's different. She already was warned. She already certainly had Yichud. There are witnesses along the way. 2-1, 1-2, whatever it is. There's witnesses along the way. And then she says Tamei Ani. Okay, we'll believe her here because she really went along this process. But, and therefore, that's the Chiddush here in contrast with other general cases where she says Tamei Ani. So that's one case, if she says Tamei Ani. The Shabbat Adam she Tamei, or Adam came along and says that she's Tamei, of course, right?
According to whatever you just said, so then why? And what's the Chiddush?
Well, that's the Chiddush.
What's the Chiddush? If the Adam came...
The next case. Yeah. The Shabbat Adam?
Yeah.
Like the Zengis. So what's the Chiddush of what?
Shabbat Adam.
So what's the Chiddush of this case? Good question, Ellie. So what it could be, how many Adam do we have here? Even though it says Adam.
2-1, 1-2, whatever, but
no. No, everybody in it. 2-1, 2-2, 1-2.
Is
all machlokas about...
That's the beginning.
Kino and Stira. Everybody agrees.
It's 2 Adam.
Everybody agrees. We had it. I think Davdalid... Everybody agrees that Tuma is believed with one.
Okay.
So she's not coming here and saying it. One Aid is coming along and saying it. And even though it says Adam, it still means one. I have a note here. Why does it say Adam if it's really one? Perhaps the finisher is that it's one. Yeah, again, we're further concretizing it. Or maybe this is the source where we have it for other places. But it's... But look, Tov, Ellie... I like it. I like your facial expression. This should keep you up today. This should keep you up tonight. Send us an answer. Vomeris Amy shows, or she says, I'm not drinking. She's stubborn. I'm not drinking. She's not saying Tamani. She's saying, I'm not drinking. And again, of course, as we've said before, this is before the Megillah is erased. Av Omar, but what happens if the husband now is the cause here? right? So, Amar Bala, Eni Mashka. Wait, I don't want her to drink, right? He retracts, as we had. What happens if he retracts? The Shabala Ba Olea Badera. Or they're together on the way. And of course, we know it's not only on the way, it can also be at home. The various answers we had as to why it says on the way. So in those cases, no los ksu bavlo shosos. So again, she's not drinking because it's pretty clear that she shouldn't drink in these cases, but she still accepts her ksuba, in contrast with all the women previously, or the cases previously, because the husband here that's the cause. The ksuba is a right, is a schus, and therefore, if she's the reason and cause for this marriage undermining, deteriorating, then she won't get the ksuba, but if not, then yes. The Mishnah Melech has a very interesting question here. We learned in Masechus Ksubas that if a woman doesn't act in the way that a Jewish wife should act, then she loses her ksuba. Okay? That's what it, right? I don't know what the Hebrew word. You know, in the ways that a Jewish woman should act, then she loses her ksuba. So the Mishnah Melech asks here, powerful question. She gets her ksuba here? Because the husband says, Amy Mashka, I'm not going to allow her to drink. She had stira! She had kinoi! The husband felt it necessary to warn her. The husband then, she was caught with stira with that same guy. That's what derech a Jewish woman should be acting?
Das Yehudis.
Das Yehudis, thank you. That's shouldn't she lose her ksuba in all cases? That's not exactly a healthy dynamic. Yichud is forbidden. So what's going on?
He must know that. He wants to give it to her anyway.
Sorry?
He must know that. He wants to give it to her anyway. I mean,
he wants to give her what?
Ksuba.
What we're saying here is that she should never have the ksuba anyways. Meaning, even if she drinks and she has, even if there was no, there should be no ksuba here regardless because of the way she's acting. It shouldn't be some cases yes, some cases no. Even if I don't want to do it, there's something here about her acting inappropriately. He answers, I hear it though, he answers that that's only cases where it's really affecting the marriage. But here it's not, he answers. But kashrus and taras mishpacha, that is, but this isn't. And the mafreshim jump like that. This isn't affecting marriage? Kinoi stira? Role play? Chas v'shalom? Like that's... That could seriously erode the very fabric of a marriage. The Chazon Ish has a great answer, where he says, generally, you're right. This would incorporate and be one of those times where a woman should not get her ksuba, but because in specifically this case, the Torah prescribes a way in which she's able to get out of it, and the husband could clarify whether or not she's guilty, and whether or not it was only yichud or something more, because Hashem's going to erase his name. So therefore, in this case, there are times when she can get her ksuba. But generally, other cases, if not. So therefore, now, if the husband decides not to, he's going to remove the very option that Hashem gave to allow the situation to clarify itself. So he's deciding that he's going to give her the ksuba. But Hashem clarifies in these cases. But in terms of kashrus, if a woman's not going to keep a kosher home anymore, does Hashem have any special thing to do, which is going to say, okay, drink this water, and if she was keeping a kosher kitchen, it'll... No, that, you know, in this case, there's more black and white as to what to do, but here not. Okay, moving on. Mesu Balena Shlo Shasu. Now, what happens if these husbands died before she had the chance to drink? So Mesu Balen, before she drank. She's on the way, perhaps, to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Already had the kinoi and the steer. So Beishamai no los ksuba v'lo shosos. Beishamai says, Beishamai omrim, that she takes the ksuba, but she doesn't drink. Beis Hillel omrim, no. Oh, shosos? Oh, no, los ksuba son. Which literally means either drink or take your ksuba. Rashi explains, what does that mean? Kolomar mitog shalosh osos, because she's unable to drink because the husband is no longer there in the Beis HaMikdash, because this is not then clarifying itself, the husband died, it's not like Hashem's going to erase his name to get them back together. Therefore, lo no los ksubasa. Then her ksuba right now is in, it's hanging, it's in
limbo.
It's in limbo. And there, and that perhaps explains the Chazon Ish very well, right? Because you're right, this does erode the marriage. So as of now, she did lose her ksuba status. But if she can then earn it back by drinking the water, that's great. But right now, perhaps, with the husband dying, according to Beis Hillel, then that would be the way for her to lose it. Muberes Chavero, an important case. What happens if a woman is pregnant? Uminikas Chavero, right? And then she's no longer married to that person. So, but now she's married to somebody else. Rashi explains this very importantly we had a concept, right? Muberes chavero shemes, right? The husband died. Vinicha muberes umenika, and he left his wife either nursing or pregnant. Oshigirsha vimuberes umenika, or he divorced her, and again she's nursing or pregnant. Vasura chacham linasiat shehavlad ben beis shanim. This is a halacha that a woman who is nursing or pregnant cannot marry somebody else at this point until the child is 2 years old. Shekach zman yinikaso. This is the time that a child needs to literally to wean. V'halach zeh v'nasa. And then this woman went and married somebody else. V'kinei la, right? And then the kinoi and the steer happened, so she would not drink. Why is that the case? Why don't we allow that to happen? Because Chazal were worried that if the woman's milk supply runs low, she marries somebody else. What happens if she gets pregnant from that second person within the 24-month period where the child is going to need the milk? Then we're worried that her health will be at risk. And it's specifically when she marries somebody else, apparently, because the second husband will not have as much rachmanis on the previous husband's child because it's not his own. This also... Correct. So nowadays, I've heard in the past that perhaps this halacha doesn't apply. We know that people have children sometimes before, you know, within a 2-year time frame of having the first child. So therefore, either it's Mishtan HaTivim, or you just say that nowadays we have formula, Materna, other things where a child really doesn't have to breastfeed at all, but they could have other types of things which could work, and therefore the mother, it's not a worry of her losing her supply and it being... you know, potentially damaging it to the first child.
Okay. Then you also lose your attempt for birth control.
Sorry?
You also lose one of the attempt for birth control. It goes both ways.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
All my brothers and sisters were born like a year, like 3 months, a year and a half apart. Only best friend.
Correct. So, nowadays we have the ability to kind of wean off, and there is form. So it's not necessarily the case, and everybody's got to speak to their own Rav and, you know, have their own sock for this, but as Shalom just said, also it works both ways.
To deal with this case.
This type of case not. Okay, here we go. Right? So in this case, either Muber's Chavero or Uminikas Chavero. So if they're married then, but they shouldn't have been, so Lo Shosus Lo No Lo Ksuba. She does not drink and she does not take her Ksuba. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Right? This marriage, again, shouldn't have happened. A lot of these cases, the marriage shouldn't have happened in the first place. And therefore, she should not drink according to Meir. No, he's able to separate her now and then come back to her lachar zman and come back to her after 4 months. Come back to her after the time period of the 24-month time period. So this marriage might be okay. And the question is asked, the structure of the Mishnah, and perhaps I'm spending a little bit too much time on Ian type stuff because we got to get through that. But the structure of Mishnah was what? We had a bunch of cases which the marriage shouldn't have happened. Rus and Shemaras Yavam, they weren't yet married. Then we had a grusha, the coin hedyot, and an almanah l'kohen gadol, and then we had a mamzer and nusin, and all these cases. And then all of a sudden, we went to more general cases, general women, right? What happens if she says ani shosav? She says ani tameh. What happens if the husband says? And all of a sudden, we're going back to cases here where the marriage shouldn't have happened. Why break that up in the Mishnah? Why not have a flow of marriages that don't happen, and then have a flow of okay general cases? Why break it up here? Okay, Tof. So here, one of the answers that's brought down is that, of course, structurally, these were all unanimous agreements. You got lo shosos, lo nos, hubasa, or what the permutation is. Right here, there's a machlokas. So even though the flow is a little bit out of place, we want to give all the cases first where there's a no machlokas, nothing, and then give a case where there is a machlokas afterwards, even though it doesn't flow as well. Islandus is kena v'sheina ril. And what happens if there's an ilanus, which means that a woman who is sterile, she's not able to have kids, uzkena, a woman that's very old, or just old enough, where she, again, she's past the childbearing age, v'she'ena ru'uya leilad, or a woman that's unable to have birth, what does that mean? Rashi, she'ena ru'uya leilad, she'shasa kos ikarin, right? She technically was, and she drank some sort of something that she is now sterile, right? And Rashi just brings out the din, the asuris lekaimel misha ein lo banim. A person that's married to her cannot stay married to her if they don't have any kids yet. Shehare nitzdavi yisrael priya verivya, because we have to have kids. The big purpose of marriage is having kids. It's perpetuating the next generation. It's not just for marriage itself, but it's to have kids. right? And therefore, these cases, again, perhaps the marriage shouldn't be or it shouldn't stay. Lo, no, lo, siksuva, the lo, shosos. In these cases, they wouldn't take their ksuva and they wouldn't drink. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yachol hu lisa isha cheres. Now, he's able to marry somebody else, perhaps a second wife, lefos, velirbos, himena. And he's able to have kids from her, so yes, the sotik procedure should continue forward, says Rabbi Elazar. Mishar kol anashim, and all other women, o shosos, o lo, no, ksubasa. Either they drink or they don't take their ksuba. Meaning, that's the general rule again, is that either they're going to drink or they're not going to take their ksuba. Ashes koin. What happens by an ashes koin? A sad case, right? If she was violated, an ashes koin can't go back to her husband. Tof. So in these cases, which, by the way, is fascinating. An ashes koin, if she's violated, she can't go back to her husband. And I was very bothered by this, at least certainly what we discussed the other day, is that we're going to say what? That she's going to drink. Okay, right? Shosa umateras labala. She can drink and then go right back to her husband, which the Gemara is going to discuss. But that really bothered me because what happens if it's chustola? Right? This is like by an Ashes Yisrael, you're right, there are issues. But by an Ashes Kohen, there's a real problem here potentially. So hopefully we'll discuss that more. Ashes Sris, what happens a wife of somebody who can no longer have a baby, and Rashi explains this is where the man became a source after marrying his wife, Shosa, she would drink. Alidei kol arayos mekanin, and also, interesting, on all of the arayos, the general rule about kinoi, about the warning, is that the wife is able to, the husband is able to warn the wife on all arayos, not just women or men in general.
Her father,
the brother, anybody, right? Chutz min hakaton, mimish eino ish. The Gemara is going to discuss both those cases. What age is this katan? Is it 9 years old? Is it bar mitzvah? Or mimisha eino ish? That should be a cliffhanger, what that means for the Gemara. The Elusha Bezdin Mekanlin, and the following people, Bezdin takes the job of doing the kinoi because the husbands aren't able to. Mishin is Charesh Bala, whoever's husband became a deaf mute, so maybe he's unable to do so. O Nishtata, or he became mentally unstable, so he doesn't have the capacity to do so. Oishay Chavush Beveis Hasurin, or he is locked up in jail, so he just can't see what's going on. So in these cases, Bezdin would take the authority to warn the wife on Kinoi, to warn her not to be with this other man. Maybe she's kind of the rumors going around, and Bezdin wants to take matters into their own hands. Lo lashkosa amru, not that they can actually make her drink the sota waters, so why would they do kinoi? Why would they go through that process? El laposla miksubasa, because by going through that process, she becomes pasulter ksuba. And therefore, Bezdin would take that matter into their own hands. Rabbi Yosef amr af lashkosa, Bezdin can even cause her to drink, the cheshet zibalim be besar surin yashkena, because for example, when the husband comes out of jail, he's able to make her drink. And maybe this means that maybe if the husband also becomes no longer mentally unstable, or if he's improved from those other things that we had before, but the Beis HaSurin was a good example, that you're right, they're going to do the kinoi, and then when the husband comes out, he can follow up and make sure that she goes to drink the waters. The noted Behuda has a question of why the Beis is able to do this, right? So he brings in the concept of Zachin La'adam Shalbafanav. That we're talking about a schus, people would want this to happen, meaning that they don't want their wives to be having this type of behavior, and therefore Bezdin is actually helping. Which means that if there's some husband that we know he wouldn't want Bezdin to do this, for whatever reason, either he's fully mentally stable, then Bezdin cannot do this because he's not doing this, because he has the ability to do this. Bezdin can just jump in to do this. This is not a rule that Bezdin does, but if we would think the husband wants it to happen, but he's not doing it, then Bezdin jumps in and takes care of it. Okay, says Gemara. Mishtahut lo shasya, it's the drinks that she doesn't have, literally, a kinoi mekanela. But the kinoi should happen, right? In those cases earlier in the Mishnah, where we had commenting on the first line of the Mishnah, that the Arusa and the Shomeris Yavam, in those cases, she doesn't drink, but however, the kinoi still takes place in all those cases. As Rashi says on the first line of the Gemara, Le'aser alav, to make her aser, midiktani lo not lo ksuba, that the kinoi should still take place here, again, as we said, so that she can accept the ksuba. So we have this kinoi and stira process, even though she can't drink the waters. And they know in advance this marriage, you're just an arusa, you're just a shmeres yavam, but they'll still go through the kinyan and the stira, so they'll remove any possibility. Interesting. Nohani mili, the Torah b'man daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem. In this parsha of Sota, we're discussing, right in the preface of Sota, v'amarta aleihem seems extra, and the aleihem comes to include, right, these extra people, l'rabos arusa v'shomeres yavam l'kinoi. V'amarta aleihem, you don't have to tell them, because you already said daber el b'nei Yisrael. V'amarta aleihem is superfluous. Superfluous? Is that a word of the day? It's not good enough. I get the daily email. Just sometimes the words, I'm like, okay, where do I fit that in tomorrow? What part of this year?
Can I just say, I don't remember any of the days.
Defenestrate?
Defenestrate, I remember.
Defenestrate. Yeah. Well, what was the word the next day? Indefatigable. So, okay. Tamalom, right? So, L'rabos arusa v'shomer shavim l'kinoi. U'masis and mani, who does our Mishnah hold like? Rabbi Yonasan he. This must be the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan. The Tanya, let's first give another opinion. We'll bring up the Bryce, another opinion, then Rabbi Yonasan. Tachas Ishech, Prat La Rusa. Right? Under her husband, Prat La Rusa. This means that an Arusa does not drink. Yochol Shani Motzi Av Shomer Siyavam. I would have thought that maybe this would come to exclude also a Shomer Siyavam. Tamalomar Ish Ish. Right? Some sort of hekesh of Ish Ish. Divrei Rabbi Yosha, that a Shomer Siyavam does drink. So this would not be what we said before. But Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Tachas Ishech, this comes to include also a Shemeres Yavam. Oti Shemeres Yavam, lo oti is Arusa. Wait, do we just exclude a Shemeres Yavam, but we don't exclude an Arusa? Tamlomer, Asher Tisteh, she strayed, Asher Tachas Isha, which comes to exclude Prat Le Arusa. So Rabbi Yonasan came to include, or exclude, literally, a Shemeres Yavam and an Arusa from being unable to drink, and therefore our Mishnah must be going according to Rabbi Yonasan. Mar Alima Le Arusa, de Kiddushe Di Dei. So he came to exclude, it was better to exclude an Arusa over the Shomeres Yavam because he literally chose her. So in that pasuk that we had that said Tachas Ishech, he came to exclude an Arusa because he chose this woman in Kiddushin, whereas the Shomeres Yavam was just kind of by default, she fell upon him. V'soklin al yodo, and he would also get skila for that. What does it mean, v'soklin al yodo? Im zimsa, right? If she is Mizana, then Niskelas Bishvilo, then she also, which means that an Arusa, if she does have, if she is Mizana with Adim, with two Adim, and it comes out for sure that she is Mizana, not the Sota process, but she's Mizana, she gets a Skila. So therefore, Tachas Ishech has that more marriage type element, and therefore, Herbi Yonasan would say that, is that the Arusa is better than the Shomeres Yavam. Umar, Rabbi Yosha would say, Alima le Shomeres Yavam, it's better the Shomeres Yavam to include in the Pasuk of Tachas Ishech, to lo mechastra mesir lechupa. No, you're basically married already. You just don't need a chupa. You're basically there, Shomeres Yavam. Well, what do you got to do? Yes, here we say it's better to have something there, but if they're just together, the Shomeres Yavam, then that's it. And therefore, he says it's better, in that case, to just include Shomeres Yavam in the Pasuk of Tachas Ishech, and therefore that's why they include both those out of the Pesukim there.
Well, Shomeres Yavam needs his beer, right? They don't need
any. Which is a big question that's asked. So wait. So what just happened here? They were, right? If the Shomeres Yavam just needs Bia, we're going to discuss that. I didn't want to discuss that on the base, actually, because we have a whole thing that the only way, but hold that thought, though, right? Not so, or maybe so, in a Doraisa level by the Arusa also, right? But the Rabbi Yonasan, hi Ishish my Avad Leis. So what would they each do with this other pasuk, right? What would Rabbi Yonasan do? Rabbi Yonasan, who held that Tachas Ishech was to exclude the Shomeres Yavam, what would he do with Ish? She comes to include other cases. An Ishish Cheresh, the Ishish Sota, the Shota, the Ishish Shamum, also the cases of a deranged person there. That these women are candidates for kinoi and stira, but again, not for drinking the mesota. Rabbi Yoshia, and what would Rabbi Yoshia do? Hi, tachasisha, my avalei. What would he do with the words tachasisha? Mi bailei lelachish ish tisha vishal ish. He comes to include both those cases by the man and the woman. Elataima. So what are we referring to here? That these women don't drink the mesota, right? Elataima deksivi hani kroi halav hachi havimin arusa shasya. That these psukim here, that had we not had these psukim, that we would have thought, then arusa is shasya. You know what, I'm moving along. It's like a whole piece here. It doesn't really... It's like a back and forth, a constant back and forth here until Amid Chaf Hei Amid Aleph on top. So I'm thinking maybe we'll just actually pause right here. I know we're kind of in the middle, but we'll pick up there from this Machlokas, probably right up here on top of Ahmed Bey's. If you take a look at Ahmed Bey's on tomorrow's stuff, on Friday's stuff, it's very, very short.
Ahmed Aleph, though, is
the... Ahmed Aleph is longer, but we've had much, much longer stuff we've gone through.
Ahmed Yami.
And then every so often, Ahmed and a half. Tov, but I wish you all a beautiful day. It's great to shtag together and have a wonderful Thursday.